If you would turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 3, and if you don't have one, there should be one in the back of the seat in front of you if you like. Ephesians chapter 3, we'll read together beginning in verse 7. This is the Apostle Paul speaking to the church at Ephesus. He says, I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effective working of his power. To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ. To the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. Therefore, I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, to him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen.
Jerry Lugin was a friend of mine. I don't know how many of you have been in the church long enough to know that name. Some of you have. Many of you have. Others, that this will be the first time you've probably heard it. Jerry Lugin used to be a member here for many, many years. He and his family, great family, Norma worked as office manager here at the church. Jerry was longtime treasurer at our church and served the Lord faithfully. Jerry went home to be with the Lord. We had his memorial service here this past Wednesday right here in our worship center. Some of you were able to be here. You know, in life there are those people who just inspire you. Have you met those people? You know who I'm talking about, don't you? They inspire you in different ways. Jerry was that type of guy. Jerry would set goals and encourage not only himself to reach those goals, but he would also encourage others along the way. Jerry took a walk. I used to kid him. I say, man, that was a pretty good walk you took. Jerry took a walk that is inspirational. Jerry was inspirational, however, for me long before the walk. And it was because of his walk with Christ. Every day of his life that I knew him. And he accomplished great things because of his relationship with Jesus. At age 62, Jerry hiked the Appalachian Trail. All 2,165 miles from Georgia to Maine. I hiked with him all but 2,164 and a half of those miles. Yeah, there we are. There's proof right there. Back when carpenter jeans were in style 10 years ago. We met him in Virginia. It just so happened that we were driving. I was up there at another meeting and things of that nature going on. And we found out where Jerry was. And, of course, we had been praying for Jerry and this. I mean, this is, what, a six-month ordeal, hiking and that. And it turned out that we could drive not just too terribly far and meet him, to where he was about somewhere in between a fourth and a third of the way on his trip. You talk about a great time. It was good just to, man, we ate dinner together. We We walked about a half mile together, so I could say I did. Prayed together. It was such an encouragement for me and such an encouragement for him because, man, it was like two brothers there, brothers in Christ especially, encouraging one another to go on in whatever path they were facing. His happened to be the Appalachian Trail. And we parted ways, and he went on, and he accomplished that. He went all the way. I mean all the way up to Maine, and he made it. Well, at the age of 72, as I mentioned last week, he went home to be with the Lord. Jerry epitomized, though, if you talk to him about his testimony, and by the way, he used that accomplishment at age 62 to give glory to God. He mentioned the fact that he put his trust in God. That was kind of the theme, trusting God. Jerry was amazing physically. Man, that dude, you know, he'd put you to shame as healthy as he was. But you know, just in a short period of time, approximately three months after diagnosis, he went home to be with the Lord. And I want to tell you, it's a commentary on life that says, you know what? None of us can put our trust in health. None of us can put our trust in wealth. Could be here today, gone tomorrow. None of us can put our trust in Washington. None of us can put our trust in religion. As was Jerry's testimony, and as it played out in his life, we have to put our trust in Christ. Jesus Christ. Let me tell you, to accomplish great things, no matter what those things are, it takes faith and trust. Some people put their faith and trust in things that can't deliver in the long haul, and they're terribly disappointed. I hear a lot of talk about trusting God among believers, but let's be honest, we trust self more than we would like to think or admit. Isn't that true? We trust our ingenuity. We trust our education. We trust our gut feelings. We trust our experience. There's a man in Scripture who had all of these. He had the ingenuity. We're told that he had the education. He certainly had feelings and he had experience. But after giving his life to Jesus, what he relied upon to govern his life was a trust in Christ, Jesus Christ. His name was Paul. The one who penned, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the words that Chad read to us just a moment ago. All throughout the Apostle Paul's letters in the Bible, and he wrote many of them, we see evidence of his total trust in the Lord. In Romans, he said, if God is for us, who can be against us? In Corinthians, he said, we walk by faith, not by sight. In Philippians, he said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. In Ephesians, as Paul is discussing the church, we can see one of a number of scriptures that reveal why he trusted Christ and why we should also. So I want to, for the next few moments, I want us to discuss and consider this passage of Scripture, Ephesians chapter 3, verses 7 through 21. And make an effort to answer the question, why trust Christ? Why should I? Well, I think there's a number of reasons why we ought to trust Jesus Christ. I've narrowed them down to just a few today. First of all, I believe because we can't trust in ourselves. Would you agree? I mean, listen, there are times when even my best efforts have fallen short of a goal that I've had. There's been times when in my life where I've surprised myself and said, man, I never thought I would have done that. And so we can't really trust in ourselves. Now let me tell you, God has chosen to work in a partnership with us. And I'm so thankful He has. He wants, His goal for creating us was to create a family that will last forever. And He chooses to have a relationship. That's why I said you can't even trust in religion. You must trust in a relationship with Jesus Christ and God Himself. God said He wanted a relationship with us. And so we put forth effort to please and serve and do all of these things, but it's based upon our relationship with Jesus Christ. Because we just cannot trust in ourselves. Verses 7 and 8 in this chapter that we read out of this letter to the church at Ephesus, it says, Paul is speaking, I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effective working of His power. I want to say thank the Lord for God's grace in my life. How about yours? Sang a number of worship songs today that spoke of the amazing grace that God has toward us. His mercy and His grace. Grace is getting what we do not deserve. Mercy is not getting what we do deserve. And thank the Lord, He extends that mercy and that grace, that amazing grace to those who will receive it. And so Paul himself says, I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effective working of His power. You need power in your life? Man, I tell you what, in the complicated culture of today and things just get complicated. Families face things today. Man, I need the power of the Lord in my life. How about you? Paul did. He realized that. I need that strength. He said to me, who am less than the least of all the saints. That gives you a glimpse into what he felt his ability to accomplish all of these things were. He said, I'm the least of the least. And we're talking about this Apostle Paul, greatest missionary that ever lived. This grace was given, though. It was given that I should preach among the Gentiles, those outside of Christ, the unsearchable riches of Christ. So Paul realized that anything that he accomplished was by the grace and the power of Christ. He considered himself the least of the least, though he accomplished great things. He knew that the very breath he breathed that allowed him to accomplish anything was a gift of the grace of God. He was not self-sufficient. Paul's life had ups and downs. If you were to read the history of his life, man, there were times when he said he had just enough to survive, and there were times when he had way more than enough. But there were a lot of ups and downs in his life. Some of these letters that he wrote talking about encouragement were written from a prison. Ups and downs. But the key to his persistence was his perspective. He had a proper perspective of the role that Christ played in his life. And I want to tell you, that proper perspective of the role that Christ plays in your life, or can, that power, is key to how you make it through those ups and downs in life. About the time you become overconfident with self, you're headed for problems. Our confidence must come from Christ. So why trust Christ? We can't trust ourselves. And number two, He has superior wisdom. He's got an edge on our wisdom. Verse 10 says, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the rulers and powers in the heavenly places. Okay, that manifold wisdom. In other versions, it will say many faceted, many colored. That's what it means, manifold. This suggests the beauty and variety of God's wisdom in his great plan of salvation for those who place their trust in him. He knows us, the individuals we are. He knows our needs. He knows our hearts. He knows us better than we know ourselves. He created us. And so he has superior wisdom. I want to tap into that wisdom. That's why I want to trust him and not in myself. Why trust Christ? Well, because he will build confidence in your life. Verses 11 through 12. It says, according to the eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. Now, Paul, in this particular letter, he's writing to the church at Ephesus, and he's speaking of this purpose that God has for his church. The church is important to God. But what is a church? We had George Dimakos with us, missionaries to Greece, just, was that last Wednesday? And he mentioned over there in Athens, where they minister, that the definition of church, when he gets a license for a church, he has to go through all types of red tape, but when he gets a license for a church, it is attached to the building. If he moves locations, which they did a number of years ago, if he moves locations, he has to reapply as to be recognized as a church because the government views the church as a building. I want to tell you, this building here is just a building. The church is made up of individuals. In fact, I like to refer to Trinity Baptist and what we're doing today as a time set aside to worship God. Thanks for doing that. It brings glory and God appreciates it, I want to tell you. But this is just the distribution center. And when we leave, the church goes out in the community and literally around the world to accomplish the purpose of the church. So Paul is writing to the church, but when he speaks to the church, he's speaking to what? The church, by definition, is a called out group of individuals. That's what a church is. You are the church. I am the church. Many times when we say, well, why doesn't the church? Man, when you get an accurate definition of the church, you got to first ask yourself, why don't I? Because we are the church. Now we gather together. It's a called out assembly. It's a group. So when he's writing to the group, I have to tell you though, there is truth for us as individuals. Because if you don't have individuals who are fulfilling their purpose God has given them, you will not have a church fulfilling its purpose. You want a good church? Better have good members. So Paul is speaking to the church as called out individuals. God has an eternal purpose, it says right here in this scripture, collectively and individually. He has a personal plan for your life. Yet so often we're tempted to limit ourselves by doubt and fear and that I can't attitude. Man, when you see what God has accomplished in the world through Christ, you can be sure he will work in you and for you That's confidence. Why trust Christ? It'll build confidence in your life. All his resources are available to those who seek to bring glory to him and accomplish his purpose. He has equipped us and given us access to God through Christ. That should bolster our boldness. It should confirm our confidence. And I want to tell you, it should fortify our faith so that we're strong. Why trust Christ? Well, he's the original. Verses 14 through 15 says, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family," and I've underlined that word family, "in heaven and earth is named." That word family can also be translated fatherhood. Every fatherhood on earth gets its origin and name from the Father, God himself. He's the original. There are a lot of knockoffs and a lot of imitations today. You ever find that? And they'll compare themselves to the original. I like the original. There are counterfeits in this world. You can't trust them. But you can trust Christ because he is the eternal God, the original. John 1, 1 through 4 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was nothing made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men." He was the original. Jesus Christ was the original. God the Father, the original. The Holy Spirit, the original. God the Trinity, the original. Why trust Christ? Well, because he'll provide strength and stability in your life. Verse 16 says that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. Not just a facade we put up sometimes, our game face when inside, man, we're fearful, but a true inner strength. Some may say, "Well, you don't need the Lord. That's only a crutch." You ever heard anybody say, I've had people literally use those same words. Man, that, you know, that's just a crutch. Well, you know, you tell the guy who just broke his leg in multiple places that you don't need that crutch. Let me tell you what. If I've done that, you give me a crutch. And I want to tell you, I'll recognize my need as an individual and say, "Let Jesus Christ be a crutch to me. That's okay. I trust him." Because he gives us strength and stability. I can't make it on my own. But through the leadership of the Holy Spirit and my relationship with the Lord, I have strength and stability in my other relationships and in my life. You want to have good other relationships? Make Jesus Christ the center of that relationship. The Bible said, "God's strength is made perfect in my weakness." There is no limit to what God can do through us and what we can do with his help. Why trust Christ? Number 6, he loves you more than anyone ever has or ever will. Some of you, I know your stories, and many of you I do not. But I know some of you have been hurt in life. Your trust has been betrayed. You don't know if you can ever love or really live again. Well, I want to tell you, you can. You follow the path Jesus has for you and trust him completely, and you can live and love. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean just to your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he'll direct your path. Back to Ephesians 3, verses 17 through 19, it says that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, the depth, and the height, to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. How do you know that which surpasses knowledge? Okay, almost seems like a paradox here. It's like, okay, so you can know something that is not able to be known. What does it mean? Well, I'll tell you how you know that which surpasses knowledge. You may not be able to explain his love, but you can experience it. There's a lot of things I may not be able to explain, but I've experienced it. And that's why it's so important that just being born in a Christian nation, or just being born in a Christian home, or just showing up in a Christian place does not guarantee you the experience of the love of Christ. You may see the effects of it, but to really know, you have to experience something beyond knowledge. And that's a relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ says he shared the width, length, depth, and height. That we can know that. That pretty well covers the extent of his love. What is the width of his love? His arms reach around the world. What's the length? Well, it began before the foundation of the world, and it continues throughout eternity, the Bible tells us. What's the depth? Deep enough that he went to the cross to pay for my sin. He gave his life. What's the height? His love reaches to the throne of God. Why trust Christ? Because you won't be disappointed. Hey, there's a lot of disappointment in this world. I tell you, there's a lot of oversell and underdeliver in this life, isn't there? In Jesus Christ, there's no disappointment. Verses 20 and 21, it says, "Now, to him who is able to do barely enough to get you by." Man, that's not what it says. It says, "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we can even ask or think." According to the power that works where? What does it say? In us. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. God will give you the power to make it in this life's journey. If you've invited Jesus into your life, he won't leave you. He'll be with you through the ups and the downs, the mountains and the valleys, until you reach the summit of this life. And then, when you reach the summit of that life, you step over that great chasm we know as death, and he will bring you safely across into eternal life. That's the love of Christ for you. You can trust Christ. You won't be disappointed. Let me share with you a final real-life example of trust that I read in a book about a man named Bill Irwin. I want to read an excerpt from that. Stay with me and we'll close. "For 2,000 miles, this is Bill Irwin speaking in just a moment, gives a commentary. "For 2,000 miles, This 50-year-old hiker, Bill Irwin, and his dog, Orient, had gone and done the impossible alone. But the worst was yet to come. I always like stories that start out that way, don't you? There are basically three types of Appalachian Trail hikers. The ones who walk on it just to say, I've been there. I can say Bill Irwin referred to me in his book. The ones who hike it in modest stretches. When Jerry hiked it, he would have people that would join it at one time, and then he would meet them. They'd hike along, and they'd drop out after a number of miles. And the driven breed of people who try to thru-hike from Georgia to Maine, a grueling 2,165 miles of unforgiving terrain that defeats over 90% of the hikers who attempt it. For the 1,000th time since I left Springer Mountain, Georgia, I asked myself, Bill Irwin speaking, what a 50-year-old man and his dog were doing out on this trail. All I wanted now was to reach the end that was less than 200 miles away so that I could go home and stop hurting. My friend Dave McCaslin joined me and my dog for the last very difficult 150 miles. Late that afternoon, we reached the West Branch River. Rain and snow had swollen the waters to a torrent. I unharnessed Orient and told him to find his way across. Dave and I inched into the icy water. Dave lost his footing and went under. An instant later, I was swept off my feet and carried downstream. Dave had managed to reach shore, and I was still going downstream, and he's yelling at me. I dug my fingers deep between underwater rocks. I was literally crawling underwater. Finally, with my strength about to give out, I thought I was close enough to grab Dave's outstretched hand. Come on, Bill, he screamed. I lunged toward the steep bank, but all I grabbed was air. I began slipping back into the current and downstream again, and suddenly I hit a branch and held tight. Dave was able to clutch my arm and pull me through the mud and onto the riverbank where I lay gasping and choking. Orient ran to my side, quaking with fear. That night, shivering in our sleeping bags and exhausted, Orient wedged between us, we kept reliving the crossing. Had we lost our packs, we would have been stranded without food or protection, and many crossings lay ahead still. I thought about my life. Actually, my difficult journey had begun years earlier. I had 4 failed marriages, to my dismal credit. After my last wife left me, I was content to work as a training director for a clinical laboratory by day and spend evenings drinking myself into oblivion. Then I made a commitment to Christ. That night I felt so overjoyed at my new life that I begged God to give me a way to show my gratitude and bring others to Him. That's when the dream started. I saw myself in Orient hiking from Georgia to Maine. It seemed like one of those absurd dreams, but the dream kept popping up in my mind. I decided the Lord wanted to put me on the Appalachian Trail to tell others about Christ and bring attention to Him, which I was eventually able to do when I wasn't falling down and breaking ribs or crawling through boulder fields or underwater. Christ had totally changed my life, and now my trust was in Him, not me, and I wanted to share it. Back to the journey at hand. Dear Lord, I finally prayed, if it's Your will that we go on, please let me know. Suddenly I stopped shaking. I just stopped. An incredible warmth came over me that seeped all the way into my soul. Dave, I said, I believe we'll go on. 13 days later, Dave, Orient, and I reached the end of the trail. Awaiting my finish were several national news crews, my sons, my daughter, a host of friends, and 15 people from my church who had driven 36 hours so they could sing Amazing Grace to me. I knew it was the love and prayers of these and many other people that it made it possible for me to be the first blind person to ever thru-hike the Appalachian Trail. But even though I couldn't see, I didn't trust in myself. I trusted in something else. I hiked the trail with Orient, my seeing eye dog, not just to show people what a physically challenged person can do, but to show them what God can do through the power of his love and protection. What he can do through a person who totally trusts him to direct his steps and then obediently follows his guidance through life, no matter the path, no matter the cost, whether or not it makes sense. Bill Irwin, during his hike, would stop at stores and laundromats for provision and to wash his clothes. And he would ask to talk to local children about God and would promise them to get them a Bible if they would promise to read a verse a day. And he said by the time he got to Maine, he had furnished over 500 Bibles. Bill Irwin died on March 1st, 2014, at the age of 73, still trusting Christ. Now, no matter how difficult your circumstances, no matter your path in life, failures that maybe you have experienced, give your life to Christ. Trust him. And see what new heights he'll take you to. Would you stand with me for just a moment? Our service is almost to the end, but before we close, I want us to just focus on what we've heard today from God to us through his word. And I want to encourage you today, no matter where you are in life, take that next step of faith and trust. Maybe it's a first step. Maybe you need to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. And it only guarantees an abundant life and that he'll be with you through the ups and downs in this life, the mountains and the valleys and the crossings. But it guarantees you eternal life where there aren't any more of those problems that we experience today. So maybe you need to receive Jesus Christ. We'd love to tell you how to do that according to what the Bible says. Maybe you've taken that step. What's your next step? Life's a journey, and God has a purpose for you and a plan. And no matter how difficult it might be, God wants to see you through, and I want to tell you there's victory at the end. And there's joy and mercy and grace and love along the way. Why not take those steps today? Going through some problems? Man, his power is realized when we admit our weakness and say, God, I'm relying on you. I'm going to do my part, but I'm going to allow you to do what I can't do. I'm going to partner on this thing. I'm going to pray a brief prayer, and then I want you to sing along with us if you would. And if you'd like to come and pray here at the front, or we have side rooms, or kneel down at the front, or sit at the front, or by yourself, or if you'd like somebody to pray with you or answer some questions that you might have about Christianity or anything we've talked about today or other things, let us know. We'll be here during this song, and then briefly after the service, even if you'd like to maybe come up then. The important thing is, don't face life alone. Certainly don't face life to come without Christ. Heavenly Father, thank you for loving us and giving us grace.